to Bethel Baptist Church. We open the hymn number 255 as we plan to worship the Lord this evening at the closing of our day of worship. And we welcome you in the internet now as you turn on and fellowship with us in a marvelous way. This evening, the sermon will complement the sermon in the morning on Christianity Today, the Christian and You Today, the local assembly. What do we do? It will take 4 weeks to really analyze this local assembly of ours. 255, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Heavenly Father, we are at the closing of the day, a long day in our church from 9 o'clock in the morning to the end of the day. But Father, we praise you for the information you give us in your word. We praise you because we can express ourselves in thanksgiving to the glory of Jesus, the wonders of Jesus, the power of Jesus, the mystery of Christ. Oh Father, we really enjoy you. And we are privileged to know you. And so, Father, help us tonight to enhance again our enrichment on the knowledge of the local assembly so that we understand what to do as members of a local church. Bless us as we fellowship in song and express thanksgiving from the heart to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, the evening service, we allow you to choose a song that will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in these beautiful hymn books that we have. And so you can select one and let us know, and we sing together. If you are listening over the internet, you have a way to get into our church, and on the control room, we will see you and type the hymn number you like to, or the title of the hymn you like it, and we our controller will let us know, and we will play that hymn. Bernie. 272. There is a rule. If we don't know the hymn, you come and sing along right here, a solo. All right? 272. The Solid Rock.
Thank you.
this morning in that beautiful passage. Okay? Another hand. This old man, where's the name of Joe Blika? All right, tell me.
17, please.
17? 17. All right. I know he's selected from 1 to 50 always. All right, 17. Count thou fountain. Very good. I'm not too young compared to him. I'm just right at his footsteps. All right? Right at the footsteps. Number 17. Oh, come thy fountain. February the 6th. That will be Raquel's sister 54 wedding anniversary, and will be also our anniversary. We get to know each other for 54 years. All right? It was 54 years ago that Raquel's church, who built in a home, requested to our church, who was about 20 blocks from their church, their building to do her sister's wedding. Is that right? In the evening. And our church has about 15, 20 boys. Between 20 to 28 singles. Their church has about 30 girls between 20 to 30. And their church invite our choir to go to their party. You know, when you go to a party, a wedding in our place, it starts at 10 o'clock in the night and goes to 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning the next day. So I told my cousin, who was the choir director, I need to sing in the choir. There's a lot of girls coming up. And he said, you cannot sing. He said, I promise. I don't sing. I just move my mouth. You know, when you are young, you are creative. All right? Is that right? So I did. And I see these girls coming in, all dressed up, then the first few. So I told somebody, I look that girl. Somebody told me, that girl would not marry anybody. So what? He said, no, she's very serious. I married that girl, and I did after 7 years of persecution. All right. Okay, yes, Andrew, tell me.
Number one,
thank you. You're so intelligent. You're my assistant, and I can see now your brightness. All right? Number one.
Thank you.
tres.
Raise your hand before.
Yes. Yes, for 256.
256?
Yep.
It is well with my soul. We got another vitola here. 256. I brought a vitola now in the presence of our God. That was his favorite son. It is well with my soul. Go ahead, Anthony.
388.
All right, and then Jeremy, I think, requests a song. All right. 388. Have thy own way, Lord. Yes, 249. Wow, 249. Just as I am. All right, that's a request. Remember, Dr. Billy Graham used this in all his evangelistic campaign to close the campaign. I have a book called Just as I Am by Dr. Graham. Okay.
Thank you.
Wonderful. That's a wonderful news. Tricia? That was very nice this morning when Tricia and Anthony got the guitar and sing here. I hope one day they get the accordion, you know, like South America, and ring, 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 chan, 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 and sing. All right? All right. They do that because who can buy a piano? And who can buy an organ? So we play the accordion, which is our national thing, like the French. And only they you use it for dancing the tango, but they, you use it for playing the songs, a piano accordion. And it's long and big and it's heavy, and they play. All right, 258, you said, all right? Say it again. 271. Yes, we are right here, very close to that hymn. 271. I'm glad you like the hymns. All right. I get there. My anchor holds. Thank you. before the last hymn, I want you to know that we will have what is it called, the dinner?
Love banquet.
Love banquet. So singles and married people can come in. The list is over there. The prices on the pencil is the final price after we give the tip and so on. I saw a great number of people who signed. You better sign my name and your name over there, and you pay, all right? And that would be good. And
out of your wallet, though.
That's, what can we do? We're married, okay? And yeah, we're married. Yeah, I always use her credit card. I tell people. Except one lady, though. I was in the radio years ago, 10 years ago, in the higher house, and I had three secretaries from an engineering company coming to talk to me about a signature that I did in a house way up in Laytown. And so they came in and they had to do some modifications, and I wanted to know before I sign again. And so when the lady came in who knows me, a believer lady who serves us, I said, well, I pay with my wife's credit card. So next Thursday, I go with Raquel to the same restaurant, and the lady came us to serve, and she said to Raquel, so Raquel goes and said, your husband came with three girls and he used to your credit card. The girl wanted to be real tough. That was something. All right. It is so good to know that we have so many people coming in. We will sign in and rejoice together because we, the family of God, as Chris pinpointed this morning with a good drama, everybody understood that you have no love, you have no coordination. And no coherence either. And I was able to use that this afternoon as I counsel people that love is the thing that drives our life and our coordination. That's what entices a lady, the love of her husband. Love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave
his life for it.
So it's not easy. Don't get married easy, boy. All right? Because it's going to cost you everything you got.
Oh, no.
Yeah, all of you now depends on your wife. That's love, all right? That's okay. All right. Now, what else we have coming up this week? Oh, the prayer meeting on this Wednesday. Pastor continues on the first. I'm going to teach you the Hebrew alphabet through Psalms, all right? Psalm 119, first stanza. What is the first letter of the first word in the one who wrote the psalm, wrote every stanza?
Aleph.
Aleph. It's a cross. It's the horns of a cow. Aleph in Hebrew, the horns of a cow. And that's the first letter, which you call nothing, zero. It's like an H in Spanish. Then you could put that under to have a sound. It's called Aleph. It's an initiate letter. Well, that letter again is a supplement letter to make three characters of a word. That's Hebrew. Three characters made a word. And some words only have two, like El, God. So they dump Aleph. And now make three, but Aleph is not pronounced. And or you put dots and then supplement Aleph, and the dots go to the right. And, you know, easy language. And I tell you, the first letter of the first stanza is Aleph. The first letter of the second stanza is
Bet.
And the first letter of the third stanza is Gamel. And go on. And then you're going to learn the alphabet as I teach you the stanzas. And our brother will have a chance to teach that also in March. When
I'm not giving the Hebrew, though.
I'm suffering in Argentina, checking the water. All right. Well, suffering too, because I had to deal with my brother. You pray. I hope that people get on in life, you know. I hope. And sometimes you put the shoulder, but, you know, Galatians 6:1 said, you who are mature, what you do? You put the shoulder down, and if the guy does not catch it, you put it a little more down. That's no choice. We cannot say, oh, if you don't do it now, no. He said, I have no clothing. So I always start buying things and get the things going for him. And that's the Christian life. We carry each other on our shoulder. And if I don't do it, what kind of example am I to you? All right? Okay, now, who's going to give me the last? Hermano Apolinario, ¿conoce algún himno que aquí que le gusta? Totally gusta. He said, I like all of them. All right. What number? 206. No, hermano, 206, hermano. All right, 206. Pastor will speak in the television in Modesto about every Sunday, half hour of television broadcast. And I'm going to meet the fellow at 7 o'clock, the broadcaster, and Gilroy. They called me and said, the CBS has opened the television to Christianity, and Modesto is 85% Spanish, so therefore, so you are the candidate to open up, because everybody's afraid. And we saw you on television before. So that's good. I did about a lot of years of television, 15. So I'm going to meet what the requirements are. You never know what the restrictions are. And if it's open, then I record it right here in Spanish. That will be good. It's already on the internet. You go to ministerioscristianos.com and you go say Dr. Otero. And you see a flashing picture of mine. That's it. All right. Praise the Lord that He uses us. All right. He uses us. I when you select the hymn, I have my own way. In the seminary, I stood up. It was a great preaching of a pastor, Oxford, and I stood up and said, "God, use me." I never knew what was behind us. It was my heart on it. But then two years later, I quit engineering and everything and dedicated myself to the Lord. That's 34, 38 years ago. That's fantastic how God can use you when you said, "Use me." All right? So, all right. Number 206, we're going to sing the entire hymn, Wonderful Grace of Jesus.
Thank you.
I'm so glad you're here tonight. You listened this morning about the first sermon on Christianity Today. And you have listened to the first sermon, Christianity and You. And that was a general, practical way to declare today who is a Christian. And remember the answer from the scripture, a Christian is someone who has Christ in you. And it's a complicated statement, and so that's why I explain it over and over again. And I like the second point where Christianity was a mystery, and I'm going to make a correction to myself. It is a mystery today, because in counseling I have somebody to say what that means, Christ in you. So it's still a mystery for some people, and of course it's a mystery for those who do not have Christ. They don't know how Christ can live in you. So we have an entire fantastic declaration of the scripture of Christianity. Now, where the Christians meet? They meet in the local church. And what is the local church? So I want to take 4 weeks on teaching you about what if you go to a book of practical theology, you will find that under ecclesiology, the story of the church. But I don't want to go so high level of teaching. I'm just going to go in the middle so you understand what I'm talking about. So the series of studies, rather than calling the study of ecclesiology, we're going to really call it the organized church. I'm going to zero in not to the church in general, which I speak in the morning, but to the organized church, all right? And to show you that there is an organized church from the scripture, I would like you to open the Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. We're going to open many scriptures tonight. You have an outline. If you are on the air and you want to have an outline of this, I think I will email this to Brother Greg, to Pastor Greg, and he will post it on the internet. Rather ourselves spending stamps and things and send it to you. We're going to use the internet in that way. All right. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, I'm going to read verse 1 so you get the introduction. Paul is writing a letter. Now, to whom is writing a letter? Look at what Paul says. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, that means sent one, a chief executive office on behalf of Jesus Christ, through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. So he has a helper, all right? Now, unto, he write this letter, unto what? Unto the people of Corinthian? No. Unto the ecclesia, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them they are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. So this church is for Corinth and it's for everybody. You saw that and also this letter is for those who are everywhere calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it is a local letter and it is a general epistle MV. Now, we are exhorted not to fail the attendance of the local church. We are here, the organized church is recognized in the New Testament. You can see that Paul is writing a letter, not just to believers everywhere, but to believers in one location. And the location is the city of Corinth. And he called those believers together in one location, maybe in one home in Corinth. He called them ecclesia. Ek means out. Ecclesia comes from the verb kaleo in the Greek language, which means to call. Those who have been called out means church. Now, in today's generation, in the year 2007, when we say we go to church, we think on a building. Is that right? We think on a building, see? And we call that a church. That was not in existence at that time. What was in existence as a building? What was the building? No, the home, but the official church began in the synagogue. You go in the book of Acts and Paul visited the synagogue. And that's where the church began. But then homes were opened. And Paul did not call in the home of so-and-so. Paul called the people a church. So the word is ek, E-K, ek. And the word klesia, K-L-E-S-S-I-A, klesia. Klesia comes from kaleo, K-A-L-E-O. Kaleo means to call, third person singular. Ekklesia means to call out. In Greek, you have a verb, and then to know where the verb goes, you put a prefix, which is a preposition, and then the verb goes. And if you want the verb to arrive, you put a suffix together. And you make a long word, where the German come from, all right? Put a long word, and then you know where to start, what the verb does, and where the verb ends. And in English, you don't know. You say, I run. What? I say, well, how do you say I run from here to here? Well, you just say it. No, but in one word, then you can say it. It's not complicated. It's more complicated than English, that you have to have 3-4 words, that one word where you use the prepositions, you know how the prepositions are used here and there and so on, and put it together. Okay. Now, those people, reading verse 2 again, said, unto the church, unto those people that have been called out from the world into the kingdom of God, unto the church of God in Corinth. So Paul is not talking in general to the church, he's talking about to the local church, there in Corinth and here in Morton Hill, California. All right? Now, all this outline, of course, I cannot teach it to you today. Hopefully, I can teach you the introduction, because I told you in the evening service is the real dinner. In the morning, I give you the breakfast. Brother Greg give you the lunch at 3:30, and then at 5 o'clock we give you the dinner. All right, and so now this is strong. So allow me to go deep and profound so that you don't get confused. But I'm going to be simple as possible, all right? So you got the word, ecclesia, church is not a building. It's people who have been called out and now into this place. Now, in the introduction, I want to say this. The organized church is recognized in the New Testament. We are exhorted not to fail in this attendance. So let's put one hand in Corinthians. And go to the book of Hebrews in our Bible. And as you go to the book of Hebrews, you go to chapter 10 of the book of Hebrews. All right? Chapter 10 of the book of Hebrews and verse 25. We are exhorted in the Bible not to fail the attendance of the local church. In chapter 10 of the book of Hebrews and verse 25, we read these words. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. What is the day approaching? What that day means? The day of the Lord. And what's the day of the Lord? His return, the coming of our Lord. And as you see the coming of our Lord, then we are exhorted not to take the liberty not to be in the church service. Now, you take the liberty and you never notice anything. Nothing happened to you. That's right. Then 2 years or 3 years later, something happened to you and you wonder why. Because you are way off here. See? So the Bible exhorts people to attend the local church. Now some people will say, no, you can be listening at home. You can do this, you can do the other. Unless you are sick, we provide that service. If you know how to work in the internet, I just asked Rebecca if she was able to listen. She was sick for 2 weeks, and if she was able to listen, she said, yes, I'm able to listen. And some people do have the privilege to have computers and listening at home, and we provide that service. We provide it on Wednesday night. But the key is to be here. See? And so God said, as long as the Christian, once the Christian agree, we're going to meet at 10 o'clock, we're going to meet at 11, at the beginning church, maybe they, who knows at what time they meet, but they meet the whole day. Do you remember Acts 20? They were they invite Paul on the first day of the week, Acts 20. And you know, Paul was teaching the whole day, so much that somebody fell to sleep and fall from the window and Paul has to help it. Just tremendous. They don't want Paul just to teach one point. They want him to teach everything. and so on. Okay, we are exhorted not to fail the attendance. In the simplest conception, is no more than an assembly of professed believers in one location. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. It is just the assembly of believers in one location. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 19. Now, in the simplest conception, the local assembly is just the gathering of believers at one location. And we read in 1 Corinthians 16 and in verse 19, the churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you, much in the Lord, with the church that is in their house. All right? So you have here churches in Asia, and you know who is in Asia today? Turkey, all right? Asia Minor, he's talking about. So Turkey is over there, Croatia, all right? These churches salute you. But also Aquila and Priscilla, who were down in Syria, they salute you, okay? Which they have a church in their house. Let's go to Acts chapter 8 and verse 1 in the scripture. Acts chapter 8 in verse 1. And look what the scripture says. And Saul was consenting unto his death, the death of Stephen. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church who was at Jerusalem. So the point I want to make is that the Bible mentioned the word church associated with their location. You don't find in the Bible the Baptist church or the Catholic church or the Pentecostal church. You find the church at Corinth, like the proper name, our proper name should be the church at Morning Hill. The Church of Christ at Morning Hill. The only trouble is the Church of Christ is a denomination today. And so you cannot use that because it will be misleading to people. But you see, at the beginning was extremely very simple. You go to, you are in Acts, go to the next book, the very last chapter, Romans, chapter 16, Romans, and verse 1. Romans chapter 16. And verse 1, I commend unto you Phoebe, for our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea. You see, always Paul is, the church at this time in the New Testament is moving on everywhere. And so they send greetings to them. What about 1 Thessalonians chapter 1? In verse 1, you can find more. This is not an exhausted study. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, in verse 1, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So, in the simplest form, is some people say, what is a church? You can say, a church is the gathering of people who are Christians in one location. But it's not that they were at one location and then the next Sunday were in another location. They're always in the same location, in the same place, the church at that place. Now, we don't have at that time in history the mobility that you have today. The people move from one place to the other and you are 5 years here, your company move you, and then you are in New York. We don't have that thing. But if that happened, then Lara and Shelley moved to South California and I talked to the church that is in Fullerton. And they received them. You all right? And so on. So remember, a church is not a building, it's the gathering of people in one particular location. Now, the second point I want to get across to you is that the organized church has been modified by traditions. What we have is a lot of traditions. And let me show you Acts 15. There was a real struggle in Acts 15. The Jewish people, the tradition of the beginning church, the tradition of the Church of Christ at the beginning, they have this tradition. They were Jewish, all right? The first church, they were Jewish people, all right? And what was the tradition? The tradition was, if you become a Christian, you have to follow the Jewish law and also believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the measure point. The most dramatic point in doctrine of the local church was, yes, you are a Christian, but you have to bring a lamb to the church and do this and the other, because that's where it's taught in the scripture. Now, after a while, the whole thing came to the church body. And guess who was the church? The Apostle James. He was the pastor of the church. So I'm going to read a long scripture for you. I'm going to read in Acts chapter 15 and verse 7. The missionaries come from Europe and they meet at Jerusalem. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, "Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe." So Peter said, you know what? The Gentiles also believe. That was a big problem. No, we only Jews believe. The Gentiles cannot believe. So he brought that attention. Verse 8. And God, which knoweth the heart, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Spirit, even as he did unto us. Now I want to prove this. The Pentecostal church said that you have to pray for the Holy Spirit. The Bible say here that God gave you the Holy Spirit. You see that? The Pentecostal church said, if you, the sign that you are a believer, you pray and God give you the Holy Spirit. Wrong. Look at what verse 8 said. And God, which knoweth the heart, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Spirit, even as did unto us. The Jew do not cry for the Holy Spirit, neither the Gentile cry for the Holy Spirit. God gave the Holy Spirit independently of themselves. Verse 9. And put not difference between us and them, purifying their heart by faith. So there is no a Christian Jew and a Gentile Christian. We're all Christians. Move away the difference. Now therefore, they tempt ye God. Why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. So salvation is not by a set of protocols. Salvation is by believing, what they say here, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that very simple? He said, but we believe that through the grace of God, through the grace of Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. Verse 12. Then all the multitude kept silent and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they have held their peace, James answered, saying, "Men and brethren, hearken unto me." Now James is the pastor, and was a theological debate in the church. So the pastor stand up and he said, "Now listen to me. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophet, as it is written, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the roots thereof, and I will set it up." All right? Now listen carefully. James interpreted the scripture and said what the Old Testament said is what's happening today. So the Old Testament is a picture of the spiritual and practical life today. He said, what the prophet Joel said in the Old Testament is just what's happening today among us. Verse 17, that the residue of the men might seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, said the Lord who does all these things. Verse 18, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore my sentence is, the pastor is going to sentence, he said, the scriptures say that, and this is what we do. All right? He said, my sentence is that we travel not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God. In other words, he said to the church, now church of God, the scriptures say this, and my view is that we do what the scriptures said. Verse 20. But that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication and from things strangled unto blood. What was the other tradition of the church? Now, the Greek, they have a good business. And the Greek, the business was they have meat in the temple. And you bring meat to the temple as an offering. They offer to the Lord and they put it over there. And from the back door, they sell the meat to the people, the priests. And that meat was cheaper than the meat you buy in the marketplace. And some of the Christians don't want to buy it because we're dedicated to the idols. I said, don't even bother that. There is no idols. There is no God. If they can buy the meat cheaper at the door of the temple, just go ahead and do it. So you see the dealing. So we have at that time three churches. The church of the east, which is Syria. Syria was the hot spot. And Antioch, Syria was the hot spot for the gospel. Syria was really going. All right. Then we had the church of the west when they found in Constantine the year 329. And we had the church of Rome who took place. And then we had the Reformation in the year 1600. So they had three branches of traditions. The Church of Syria, which was Arab by nature, and they had their own tradition. The Church of Rome, who had their own tradition. And the Protestant Church, the Anglo-Saxon Church, who had their own tradition. And so God allowed these things to happen. So the organized church have been modified by the traditions. If we were not... follow traditions, we will meet in a home today. And we will not have a church bulletin. And we don't have anything. They just meet around and they study the word. That's what they did. All right. So the organized church has been modified by tradition. Number three, the important features pertaining to the local church may be contemplated in five aspects. And I'm going to deal with these in details. Number one, a church should have a set of doctrines. So I'm going to speak in the next God's willing, the coming Sunday, the church and her doctrine. What is the doctrine of the church? And you have the outline over there, but I'm going to speak about that in the coming Sunday. Then the church and her service. What is the church supposed to do? Some people think that the church is supposed to do social service. I have to explain this to the authorities on the board in San Francisco. They think the church should employ people, the church should feed people. There is a church in San Francisco, a big, large church, who feed 2,000-3,000 people, and they get money from the government to do that. And I said, number one, I will not get one penny from the government of the United States of America. The Bible does not authorize that. The money comes from our people. And I will not feed people, because if I feed 100 people this Sunday, how many the coming Sunday? 10,000. All right? So now, ladies and gentlemen, you need to know what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to do benevolence, but how are we going to study that through the organized church? Now, the church and her organization. Does the church need to have a priest? Does the church need to have pastor? One, many. The church. What are the offices of the church? We call them deacons. What they are? How they get together? So we're going to see in the Bible how they feed each one in order. And then the church and her ordinance. What are we supposed to do? Catholicism has created seven sacraments. Are we supposed to have sacraments when the Bible said these are the ordinance? See, the ordinance means this is the mandate of God. A sacrament sanctify. An ordinance make an obligation to you to be obedient to God. This morning we have an ordinance. What was it? The Lord's Supper. There is a second ordinance in the church. What is it? Baptism. And stop it. So marriage is a sacrament. Yes, indeed. Marriage is holy. But it's not an ordinance. You don't have to be married. You can be single the whole entire life. Ain't no sin. But there are churches who think if you're single, after 30, you're in sin, so you have to marry the next candidate. And I had to counsel a person for 10, 12 years to get out of that trouble. And you know, it's unbelievable how people mistaken the scripture. When you read it black and white, believe it, my brother. Don't make anything. So, the church and the ordinance, and the church and her order. How we should proceed to love and really worship God. There are two elements in worship. One is to praise. You will see in the scripture that the priest need, and the king of the land, by order of the king, the whole country need to praise God. Days of praise only. Praise and praise and praise. And then you will find in the Bible days where the pastor will seat Ezra for the whole day. And the children in the congregation, said the scripture, all sitting down, and he will read the whole Pentateuch. And the people, without preaching, the people start crying. When they check the scripture, and they see in their heart how far they are. Now, we have an advantage. The grace of God has appeared to all men. You can see yourself how far they are, but you can see the grace of God touching your life and cling to that grace to recover yourself. So here is the introduction. We're going to talk about the local church, how it's organized in the New Testament. It's a church gathering of people in one location. The church was modified by traditions, and this is not something of this century. This happened on the first century. By the year 41, when the church expanded, the Jewish people said, no, wait a minute, we don't like that. We like to be only ourselves. You know, there are some churches who said, we are the only saved. Oh, boy, that happened already in the year one. I never say that. As a matter of fact, I pray for all pastors that they be guided by the scripture and bless the people. Because we need pastors and pastors to teach the word of God so that people can be saved. They will do things different than we do, but doesn't matter. The message has to be the same. That Christ saved. And then the important features of our church. What do we need to believe? How do we need to get together? What do we need to do as an organization? All of this in detail each evening. I'm going to explain one of those before I depart for South America. So I hope I cover all of these until the first Sunday on March. And then we're going to save these sermons. And when somebody applies for membership, we're going to ask them to listen and to agree to this so that we have one mind. And we are all in one page. May God bless us. And may God, see, you are here in the local church. You are doing the right thing. You are gathering together in the local church. You are doing the right thing. Don't forsake the assembly of ourselves together. And so when we commit ourselves to one day, or 2 days, or 3 days, we have to be there. Or we are in fault with respect to God. May God bless us and open our eyes. That we, again, this is a refreshing course, an enrichment course, we call it in college, an enrichment course so that you enrich your knowledge of the local church. Thank you, Father, that you gathered us together in one place. Thank you, Father, that you put us together in one place to study the Word of God. Thank you that you organize the church and you keep the organization exactly as the Scriptures tell us. Lord, we have failed in many areas. But help us, O God, that we never fail in preaching the Word of God and in praising your name with all our hearts and mind. Bless us this week. Touch our life. Many things are going to happen to us that we don't know. Give us the grace and the mercy to cover them and to have a strength to deal with them. Bless our families. Lord, I see little children. Bless them that they may know you and walk with you. In Jesus we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. Deacons, we meet you on the conference room.